Ambassador, thank you so much for your time. We're now almost 2 years since the invasion of Ukraine. Do you feel more confident than ever that Russia will prevail?
It's a good question, and my answer will be positive to that, because the slogan that has been dominating in the Western world earlier, that Ukraine should prevail, happened to be totally wrong. It was a grave mistake by Western leaders to believe that the Ukraine, with the Western assistance in money and weapon, can prevail. Russia cannot be beaten at all.
Why do you think Russia will prevail now?
Because if comparing with Ukraine, our political situation is stable, our economy is developing pretty quickly, our resources are enormous. We do not need mobilization of people because people on contract are now fighting in Ukraine, and the line of contact, as they are calling it, is moving slowly but steadily to the West.
Well, given this conflict has gone on for 2 years now, Russia hasn't mobilized to the extent that you had hoped. I mean, you had tanks surrounding Kyiv and you had to pull back. There have been a number of fundamental errors that Russia has made.
As for tanks that were in Kyiv, we have done it, but we have done it on our own. Ukraine forces has nothing to do this, because it was a point in negotiations when we nearly achieved an agreement in April 2022, when we have agreed, and it was a gesture of goodwill that we have bring our forces from Kyiv eastwards, and
Do you
we
think
just
if you
liberated
really If you really
area.
sent troops there and tanks there, that you just pulled them away as a gesture of goodwill?
Absolutely, because we did believe that we nearly agreed with Ukraine on a number of things that were very important to get achieved. One of them, neutrality, it has been said by President Putin, and a lot of things which we tried to achieve by that time. So we have come close to the agreement, not totally, but close. If
I mean,
Boris Johnson
military.
will not travel to Ukraine and will not say, let us, you should fight instead of agreeing with Russia.
Well, I mean, when military analysts and people who were watching the strategy saw that Ukrainian tanks were stuck in a bog at the time, they couldn't move forward to get into Kyiv at the time. They were stuck. They had to turn back. Many of them complained about running out of fuel. They didn't have the supplies and the weapons that they needed.
Frankly speaking, I cannot imagine that tanks will go into the city which inhabits 3 million of people. It is too big to get this type of things. The idea was just to stretch all Ukrainian forces across the country and then to achieve the goals which we have set in front of us by more political means than military means. We could have been at that point in April 22, but unfortunately, the choice by West, by the European Union, the choice was to fight, to go into fighting. So this fighting continues.
The International Institute for Strategic Studies has published a report today. It says the Russian armed forces have lost more than 3,000 main battle tanks in Ukraine, roughly as many as they had ready to deploy before the full-scale invasion 2 years ago. Moscow is now drawing on stored kit to replenish losses, trading quality for quantity. So you say that you're in a position of power now, but these reports show that you have lost more than 3,000 main battle tanks just in the last couple of years.
I haven't seen these figures. In fact, it is for the first time. But I can assure you that our military-industrial complex, which Ukraine doesn't have at all, it is now in full scale producing things which are needed for the front, let it be tanks or artillery, munition, and all of that. And we do not need at all any foreign help or any assistance. We have sufficient capacities inside Russia to continue these things.
Russia is getting ballistic missiles and artillery from North Korea, and this is in violation of the UN sanctions that Russia itself supported.
No proofs has been. I can assure you that if there were proofs of these things, we can already see it, or Security Council has already discussed it, but there were no proofs of that. We do not need this. We have our own. A lot of missiles and a lot of artillery. I hardly believe that we need something to buy outside.
Your defense minister went to North Korea. Mm-hmm. They talked about defense cooperation. In fact, Vladimir Putin, President Putin, gave a letter thanking Kim Jong-un for, quote, strong support from the Democratic Republic of Korea for the special military operation in Ukraine. What was that for?
That was not the exact citation, but I will say that, I'll better say that we are discovering this country for the world. I will say that we have groups of tourists are now visiting North Korea, and we still hardly understand why it should be sealed from all the sides. We're just establishing a new cooperation with this country. It is in different areas.
But this is in relation to ballistic missiles and artillery from North Korea, which President Putin has thanked Kim Jong-un for. And again, he said that it's in support, thanking for the strong support for the special military operation in Ukraine. That has nothing to do with
I'm not sure
tourism.
What are you citing, because I have never seen this citation. President Putin has made a very long interview a couple of days ago, and he never mentioned North Korea as a supporter of our military.
No, a letter. He sent a letter thanking them for the ballistic missiles, the artillery, for the strong military support that North Korea is giving.
I'm not aware of this letter, frankly.
I guess the question
who
then...
Who said it to you? No, I don't believe that this letter has been sent, first of all, because this was never has been an argument in any debates about that.
Well, your defense minister, as I said, was there. Korea has cited
since
that there is support.
Since that time, the foreign minister of North Korea has been in Moscow. Foreign Minister Lavrov was in North Korea as well. We are developing relations in different areas with North Korea.
And it has nothing to do with them supporting, getting ballistic missiles and artillery from North Korea?
I simply do not know. I'm not a military man. I'm a diplomat and working in London. But I don't believe that we need anything from North Korea because we are self-sufficient now, totally self-sufficient, very differently from Ukraine.
So no Iranian drones coming there? Western intelligence has cited Iranian drones?
Once I have been at the arms exhibition near Moscow, and I have seen Iranian exhibition over the year. They are good experts in different kind of weapons, including drones. Probably we have had some cooperation in engineering. I do not, although I am not a specialist, but I can imagine that I was impressed actually on their abilities to design different ways, different weapons, including drones.
So are Russians using those drones?
No, we as well. But probably there was a technological or something like that. I do not know. I simply do not facts. This facts has been discussed several times. Ukrainians have tried to produce some proofs that there were, but these proofs were not convincing even for the Security Council.
I'm going to mention what Donald Trump, the former U.S. president, says. And he says he'll end the war between Ukraine and Russia in 24 hours. Do you believe him?
It is difficult to predict in the first place who will be in the White House in January next year. So it is nearly a year from now. What's going to happen during this year also it is absolutely unknown.
But you would rather Donald Trump in the White House?
No, we do not say neither yes or no, because otherwise we will be immediately accused that we are supporting this president or that candidate. No, so we do not say about that. But what I will say, and what is important to understand, that at least Donald Trump is saying something about the end of the war, because all others, including Rishi Sunak, including the Chancellor of Germany, including the leadership of the European Union, they speak about continuation of war. Continuation of supplying of weapon for Ukraine, continuation of supporting it financially. They would like that the soldiers in Ukraine continue to die.
What does victory look like for you, for Russia?
It's a big, big question, I will say, how the concept of the victory, what it means. It is, we need to achieve our goals. Our goals are well known. It is, we have several times has said.
To remove... the government in Kyiv?
It is not in the goals. It is of the goals, demilitarization, denazification. Ukraine should be neutral and friendly to Russian people or living inside Ukraine, which is very important, and outside of Ukraine. We need a good neighbor, in normal neighbor, not an instrument of breaking through Russia, which the West, the collective West, and NATO especially
Ukraine
tried to do.
Ukraine has never indicated that it wants to break through Russia.
Oh, no.
In fact, Russia has annexed Crimea. It now has the invasion, which you yourself also said would not happen in January 2022. You said to Sky News that the invasion wouldn't take place. Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov said there would be no such invasion. We heard this time and time again from Russian officials, and yet that's precisely what
Yelda,
we saw happen.
All of these things, like especially military operations, will not be needed at all if we were not certain that Ukraine was preparing to resolve the issue of Lugansk and Donetsk by force. It was accompanied by NATO efforts to establish in Ukraine NATO presence. UK was prepared to build two naval bases, for instance. I'm just taking the example of UK. One in Azov City in Mariupol itself, and the other in Black Sea, in Nikolaev, if I'm not mistaken. Two naval bases for NATO. So, plus Operation Orbital, preparing Ukrainian soldiers. US was actively involved in building up Ukrainian army. At that time, we got absolutely verified information that during all these years, since 2014, Ukraine would like to resolve the issue of Russian people in Donetsk and Lugansk by force, not by negotiations, not by Minsk agreements. Minsk agreements, we're speaking about Lugansk and Donetsk joining back to Ukraine. And we were in favor of that, although it was very difficult. But Ukraine would like to resolve it by force, and otherwise it simply could not happen.
I mean, the Budapest Memorandum that Russia signed, signed this accord in 1994 and gave Ukraine, and that's why Ukraine gave up its nuclear weapons. In exchange, Russia pledged, and the UK committed to, with Russia, that one, they would respect the independence and sovereignty and the existing borders of Ukraine, and two, refrain from the threat or use of force against the country. Both of these two things have been defied.
It's an old question about Budapest Agreement, and we have answered on all levels, including me, very often on that. It has nothing to do with the revolution, Maidan revolution, which has happened 10 years ago in Ukraine, turning down the legitimate government on it. Then there was no guarantee for the new government. It was a new state, actually, after the revolution, and illegitimate powers and all of that. So it does not give guarantees to Ukraine. It was only one issue that was discussed in Budapest Memorandum. It was the withdrawal of nuclear weapons in accordance with the non-proliferation agreement. So that is all.
I mean, Ambassador, you talked about the conditions and the need and what victory would look like, but are you surprised by the resolve of the Ukrainian people that we've seen grandmothers, young and old, stand up and fight for their country?
I know. No mothers are standing over the years. So that is.
I mean, I've seen it myself when I've spent time in Ukraine.
Okay.
We've seen.
Probably in the beginning or something like that. But it is. Just imagine what Ukraine is now. It is now. It's a teeny rope of financement of half of the budget of Ukraine. Economy does not work. It is industry doesn't work. Agriculture, 40%. Population is shrinking. Just, for instance, look at the leading article in the Times of yesterday. It gives an analysis of how Ukraine looks like now after the 2 years of the war. It's extremely difficult now for Ukraine to continue all of that. And, of course, the best need is to understand that it was a grave mistake.
But how much are Russians losing as a result of this war? Because, when and how long can they sustain this? When you look at defense spending, for example, and security combined, it's set to reach around 40% of all your budget expenditure in 2024.
I do not know where media they have taken this cipher. Because our defense expenditures, they were always covered in the budget, and it was always a state secret. Basically, those beyond those who are sitting at the government, people are not aware with how much of defense spending we are doing. So usually it was much, much lower a cipher, and saying about 40%, it is something out of the blue.
I mean, again, to cite the International Institute for Strategic Studies, they've published this report and they've said that, they're saying that 30% of annual government expenditure is to its armed forces.
Yeah, this is it's impossible because I'm quite a long work in a diplomatic service and I know some ciphers and I can imagine what kind of real ciphers are now. So it is very far from reality. I can only tell you.
Let's talk about, again, the human rights situation in Ukraine. An independent international commission of inquiry on Ukraine which was established by the UN Human Rights Council. They've said in multiple reports of indiscriminate attacks, war crimes committed by Russian forces. They've talked about torture, rape, other sexual violence, deportation of children. They've said that they've released a new report to say that, you know, in Mariupol between February and May 2022, thousands of civilians were left dead and injured.
But they say nothing about the recent events in Lysychansk, where Ukrainians has shelled on Sunday the marketplace during the hour where all families has gone out, and they killed 30 people immediately by cluster bomb, which are forbidden.
I don't have details of that report, but I want to ask you.
I'm just telling you, because these reports, they are unilateral. They are looking only one side of it, and they do not want to look on the other side of it, at least.
But you would admit that these crimes, which have been described in some instances as war crimes of torture, rape, sexual violence, have taken place?
We can admit anything which will be unbiased, bilateral, and objective. These reports that you have cited, they are unilateral reports. They do not look at the on the other side of the medal.
I mean, this is 14 years of bombing of Lugansk. An independent international commission of inquiry.
Very good. Look at yesterday's session of the Security Council where they discussed Minsk agreements, 10 years of Minsk agreements, and there were reports about the violences, crimes, killings, cluster bombs, and children, and all of that stuff in Lugansk, Donetsk, and in all this area committed by Ukrainian soldiers.
But you would admit that the situation in Mariupol, some of the issues that we've seen right across the country committed by Russian forces, indiscriminate attacks, some of the reports that have been done by Human Rights Watch, this independent inquiry, they have taken place.
Yelda, go to Mariupol now. Look at it. It's a new rebuilt, totally rebuilt city now, port of it. I just looked at a report from it. It is amazing how beautiful it is. Not every building has been restored right now, but a lot of efforts has been done. We have now different regions from Tula, one of the regions in Tula, which are building new mansions over there, new schools, new kindergartens, new clinics over
there. But why was that necessary? I've been to Mariupol before the war, and it was a perfectly fine, place. Full of Ukrainians.
I would appreciate.
Why did that need to happen?
The first place, if you're saying Ukrainians, it is mainly populated by Greeks, to your knowledge, if you have been over there. So Greeks, Russians, Armenians, Ukrainians, all of them all over there. People are returning to Mariupol. It is now becoming, not yet, but it is now becoming a beautiful city with naval base, with new clinics, as I have said. But really, go and you look at it with your own eyes.
But you admit that in order to get to what you're saying Mariupol is now, it needed to be destroyed in the way that it was by Russian forces?
Well, they could surrender earlier than that. They could surrender Mariupol much earlier than trying to make a fighting place of it.
Do you admit that these sorts of war crimes took place across Ukraine?
Well, I'm sure that on every side, everybody, in this case, the Secretary General of the United Nations is saying that he condemns every crime committed, whether it be in Ukraine or in the other place, by anybody.
But Russian forces invaded the country and committed some of these crimes, correct?
We are not invaded the country. We are exercising a special operation, as I have said in the beginning.
I mean,
because we tried to resolve it, because we tried to resolve it by political diplomatic manner. This didn't help, and the Western side committed a grave error. It continues to commit a great error because it is impossible now for them to admit an error and all of that in order not to support negotiations that took place in April 22.
You call it a special military operation invasion in January 2022.
No, if you will return to that days, I have several times already answered this question also to your station, to Skies. I was saying at that time what I was aware of, including my minister.
So were you surprised by what happened?
I would say that I was surprised because the tendency in general in relations between Russia and the West, Russia and the United Kingdom, was continued to deteriorate for several years. It was worse and worse. And it is like a spring. The spring is when it is being pushed by both sides. At one point, it is jumping, simply.
And what are relations like now with Rishi Sunak?
We have no relations with Rishi Sunak, given that he is nearly insulting our president, the government, and all of that stuff. So we have no political relations with UK. We have contacts on the level of embassies and ambassadors, which is absolutely important. Your new ambassador has gone recently to Moscow. He has beat his credentials. Actually, this is like that. There is a rupture in economical relations. The trade between two states are now 96% down than it was before 22. We have no cultural programs, no scientific programs. Before the events, we have had nearly signed a scientific program which has had about 200 points in it in the foreign exchanges.
And now it's dead in the water.
We have nothing.
Well, British and other NATO generals and ministers are warning of a threat of a large-scale conflict with Russia in the next few years. What's the view from Moscow?
They like it very much. They like to press it. I will tell once again that there are two things in it. One thing is to show to us that if we will continue fight Ukraine, then we will have to meet NATO. This is one. It's a threat. Second is that, of course, generals are trying to get more money from the budget for the reforms for the forces, especially in UK. I will tell you what President Putin has said in his interview to Tucker Carlson recently. We have no interest in Poland. We have no interest in Latvia. Estonia,
I mean, those countries are concerned that Russia is going to test Article 5 in the next few years.
They can imagine to themselves whatever they can, but the answer was absolutely straightforward, that we have no interest. We are not
Again,
eager.
You
we
also said there was no interest in the invasion of Ukraine.
No interest because, there is no interest in Poland or other Baltic countries, and we fully understand that any escalation beyond Ukraine will bring a world conflict, where a destruction of everything. So we fully understand that, and we cannot support this.
Well, Donald Trump has encouraged Russia to invade any NATO ally that's not paying a minimum of 2% of its GDP on defense. Do you think President Putin is tempted by this?
I think it's a joke by Donald Trump. It's of course, very unrealistic. We will see what he's going to say if he will continue his campaign. I have seen a reaction to this statement today of different leaders. They are shocked and scared, I will say, and they say that they should increase their efforts to defend themselves and if U.S. will really withdraw from NATO or do it. So they are shocked and they are totally unexpected.
But how does Moscow react and respond?
We have no reaction. It is a statement during election campaign, a statement by one of the candidates. It is still unclear whether this candidate will be able to continue his campaign given the different legal processes that are going on in the United States. We simply do not comment. It is.
Will Russia interfere in the US elections so that Donald Trump
can
win?
What we shall do?
Will Russia interfere in the US election?
We have no means to interfere in any election campaign, first of all. Second is we have no interest to interfere in the election campaigns, either let it be in Britain or in the United States
or any
other country.
That's not what the intelligence community
in the US said about the 2016 election. They like it very much to see we are to blame for everything. We know that we are interfering in Scotland, for instance, but we have only one person, our consulate general in Scotland. It's a story also for these intelligence groups, forces who used to push Russia, who used to do only one thing. It is the policy is to push Russia, of course.
Let's talk about the Russian elections, which are coming up in the next month. Any voices that oppose Vladimir Putin is silenced. We've seen what's happened to Alexei Navalny. We've seen Boris Nadezhdin, who was evicted and prevented from going any further in the elections because he opposes the war.
Boris Nadezhdin, he is an interesting figure, I will say, in our politics. He has got some support in different circles. And for them, he should be just more careful about building up his election bases. Because when he has brought all these signed supporters, list by supporters, there were lots of discrepancies, unfortunately. And the level of discrepancy was three times higher than is allowed by the legislation. So it was 15. So he should be more careful than that, unfortunately.
Because he opposed Vladimir Putin?
No, not because of that. Because he has
That's what he says. That's what the world believes. Because he was speaking up against the war, because he was standing in opposition to Vladimir Putin, he's now been prevented from taking part in the election.
As I have said, that his voice has been heard. He was pretty accurate, but the point is that he need be more accurate about all these things if he would like seriously to compete against Vladimir Putin. But let me finish, please. Frankly speaking, I don't believe that he would have any success in that because the overall support to the President Putin, it is now 79% among the population, 79 to 80.
Well, when we know what the outcome of the Russian elections will be...
No, we do not know. So it's a democratic process. Let us see.
Why bother with the pretense of a democratic process when we know the outcome?
What I can say, it is, I do not know which example to take. Of course, there are democracies has very many faces in it. Democracies may be in struggling among between Republicans and Democrats, between conservatives here and the Tory and Whig here, or two-party system, one-party system. In Baltic republics, there are tens and tens party system. How many parties were participating now in Finland? I do not know. Several dozens, I will say. So what will be the right way? No one can determine.
So Russia is a democracy?
Russia is absolute democracy. And it is our constitution, and it is just a bit, this democracy has many faces, as I have said.
Vladimir Putin has more or less been in power since the year 2000. Anyone who speaks up against
Angela Merkel, how many years she was in power?
Alexei Navalny is in prison, Vladimir Karamurza is in prison, and now Boris Nadezhdin has been expelled and prevented from taking place.
Still there are candidates, there are alternative candidates in the list. Or they can do them if you like. But what I can do? So we have several leaders that stayed in power for more than 20 years in Europe as well.
Going forward, if there was a negotiation with Ukraine, what would it look like for you? What would it take to end this conflict?
Yes, it's a good topic. But to discuss it seriously, first of all, we need that the president of Ukraine will reject the decree that he put it on himself not to conduct negotiations. And second, that in the West, leaders that are supporting now financially and with armament, especially Ukraine, they should recognize that it was a mistake.
You don't recognize that invading Ukraine was a mistake?
No, it was a necessary step, unfortunately, because we, during all that time, and I do not want to repeat myself, during all that time, since early 90s, we were saying that we need, early 90s, I'm telling you about reunification of Germany, we need peaceful state, undivided security for all, including Russia. In return, we have got five ways of enlargement of NATO, and promises to Ukraine and Georgia that they will be in NATO soon, accompanied by NATO bases on Ukrainian soil.
Ukraine as a sovereign state can't make that decision unilaterally?
Ukraine should take into account interests of the neighboring states especially. And the interests, if we would have good relations with NATO, friendly relations, if we were certain that NATO will not be alien or adversarial to Russia, it will be a different situation. Unfortunately, it did not happen. We tried to establish a good relationship with NATO. I spent myself 10 years on that. We even, as President Putin has said recently, even asked for, can we be admitted to NATO? And it will be a resolution of the question for all. He asked Bill Clinton about that. Bill Clinton has said initially, why not, probably, but the same day in the evening, he said, no, it's against our interests. It will be against interests of the United States because it will undercut domination of the United States.
But if Ukraine...
I'm saying that. That is why NATO, we cannot consider as only adversarial alliance. And of course, we are not able to allow our closest neighbor, which is inhabited by Russians, to enter the organization which is adversarial to us.
Ambassador, thank you so much for your time.